Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-21, 2011.com with another study in our series on Jeremiah 50. Today we will be covering verses 43 through 46. And the whole message is entitled, "The Little Ones of the Flock Drag Out the People of This World, Including Those in the Churches, to Make Their Habitation Desolate." I'll begin by first reading the four verses, and then we'll go into an introduction, and then we'll take each verse one at a time. Well, let's begin by reading the first four verses. We read, starting in verse 43, "The king of Babylon hath heard the report of them, and his hands waxed feeble. Anguish took hold of him, and pangs as of a woman in travail. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan unto the habitation of the strong. But I will make them suddenly run away from her. And who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is like me? And who will appoint me for the time? And who is that shepherd that will stand before me? Therefore, hear ye the counsel of the Lord that he hath taken against Babylon and his purposes, that he hath purposed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he shall make their habitation desolate with them. At the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved, and the cry is heard among the nations." In this study, we continue with the main theme of Yahweh's judgment or wrath upon Babylon. In these verses, the king of Babylon, Satan, has heard the report of Christ and the elect coming to destroy him on Judgment Day. And as a result, his hands wax feeble, anguish takes hold of him, and pangs as of a woman giving birth. And he comes up like a lion from the swelling of the Jordan against the habitation of the elect, namely against all the Christian churches. But he and his demonic spiritual friends are made to suddenly run away from her in defeat on May 21, 2011. But nevertheless, there is no one chosen who is like Yahweh to now shepherd over all the Christian churches worldwide. Therefore, the little ones of the flock, namely the elect, drag them all out. Surely, Yahweh will make their habitation desolate with them. And at the noise of the taking of this world in all the churches, the presence of Yahweh in his anger and wrath is manifest, and the cry is heard among the nations. Okay, let's begin by taking each verse one at a time, and we'll start with verse 43. "The king of Babylon has heard the report of them, and his hands waxed feeble. Anguish took hold of him, and pangs as of a woman in travail." In this verse, we first read, "The king of Babylon has heard the report of them." And who are they of whom the king of Babylon heard the report of? Well, we learned in our last study that these are the elect who come riding on horses in array as a man. That is, they come in strength, while so arrayed or ordered in the body of Christ that they come against Babylon as a single man, namely, Jesus Christ. So, we can say that the king of Babylon has heard the report of the elect. And furthermore, since we learned long ago that the elect in this day were typified by the Medes who conquered Babylon in 539 BC, we could say that the king of Babylon has heard the report about the Medes who would conquer him. We read about the king of Babylon hearing the report of his impending doom in Daniel chapter 5. Let's read the whole chapter to see the whole context how the report came about, and what exactly was the report for the king of Babylon. We read, starting in verse 1, and I'll go all the way through verse 31 of chapter 5 to set the context. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords, and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels, which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to him the interpretation thereof. Then was the king greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spoke and said unto Daniel, "Are you that Daniel, which are of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee, that thou can make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou can read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and with a chain of gold about thy neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom, and majesty, and glory, and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. whom he would slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appoints over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knew all these things, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou, thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. In this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Can you imagine how King Belshazzar of Babylon must have felt when he heard this report that his kingdom had been given to the Medes and the Persians? Well, our verse tells us how he felt. It reads, and his hands waxed feeble. Anguish took hold of him, and pangs as of a woman in travail. First, let's consider that his hands waxed feeble. We could translate this like this. His hands dropped. In other words, his hands lost all their strength upon hearing that his kingdom had been given over to the Medes and Persians. And in that hands in the Bible are often representative of the will, we can say that when the king of Babylon heard the report that his kingdom had been given to the Medes and Persians, he lost all strength of will. This is what it means, that his hands dropped. Second, we are told that anguish took hold of him. The word translated as anguish is the word for distress. So we can say that distress took hold of him. He knew he was doomed. He probably remembered what had happened to his father when Yahweh, through Daniel, had told his father that he would be changed into a beast of the field and eat grass like the oxen due to his pride. And then it happened to his father, just as Daniel said. And you can read about that in Daniel chapter 4. And now he was being told by Daniel that his kingdom had been given over to the Medes and Persians due to his pride and having not given glory unto the one true God. And he knew it was true, just as it was true when Daniel had spoken to his father. So, knowing that his kingdom had been given over to the Medes and Persians, distress, anguish, and despair took hold of him. Third, not only did distress take hold of him, but we read pangs as of a woman in travail. Literally, it reads, anguish or pain as a woman giving birth. Many of us have seen firsthand and experienced the pain that a woman goes through when giving birth. It is when we men say, thank God that I am a man, because when we see how much pain the woman endures in childbirth, we suddenly realize just how weak we men are. No, rather, we thank God that He has created a woman to be able to endure such pain, and we come out from the experience with a greater respect both for God and women. Now, so far, we have looked at our verse in the literal historical context of the Medes conquering Babylon in 539 BC, and what the king of Babylon at that time felt when he learned that Babylon had been taken by the Medes and the Persians. But all of this was merely an earthly picture or type of what the spiritual king of Babylon, Satan, felt when he learned that the elect, typified by the Medes, would spiritually conquer this world and all the churches, typified by Babylon, on Judgment Day, which began on May 21, 2011. Yes, when Satan heard the report that the elect would conquer his kingdom, that is Babylon, on May 21, 2011, his hands waxed feeble. Distress took hold of him, and anguish as of a woman in travail. That is, Satan lost all strength of his will. Distress took hold of him, and anguish or pain as of a woman giving birth. And just as the king of Babylon, Belshazzar, lost his rule on the same day in which he was told that his kingdom had been taken by the Medes and the Persians, so also did Satan lose his rule over all the churches and the world on the same day that he was told that his kingdom was taken by the elect on May 21, 2011. Nevertheless, Satan was permitted to continue for a season and time, Daniel 7:12, until when he and the unsaved will be annihilated by fire on the last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. Moving on to verse 44 of Jeremiah 50, we read, behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan, unto the habitation of the strong, but I will make them suddenly run away from her. And who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is like me? And who will appoint me the time? And who is that shepherd that will stand before me? Here, we first read, behold. And this is simply a way of saying, pay attention to what follows, or tune in to what I'm about to say, for it's important. And when we read, he shall come up like a lion, and then we read, I should say, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan unto the habitation of the strong. But who is this he that shall come up like a lion from the swelling of the Jordan unto the habitation of the strong? Well, from the context of the previous verse, which states the king of Babylon has heard the report of them and his hands waxed feeble, anguish took hold of him, and pangs as of a woman in travail, the he in our verse obviously refers to the king of Babylon. And as many of us already know, the king of Babylon was a type of Satan himself. In other words, God gave the account of the literal king of Babylon back in the ancient days, in order to teach us spiritual truths that would come about in the future, because he represented Satan himself. Now, we are told that this king of Babylon, namely Satan, shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan unto the habitation of the strong. The word here translated as the strong is a word that means perpetual, constant, enduring, or even eternal. So that we could say that the strong refers to the eternal ones. And we can now translate our verse, "Behold, Satan shall come up like a lion from the swelling of the Jordan unto the habitation of the eternal ones." And what has been the habitation of the eternal ones, that is the elect, during the New Testament age? Why, it has been the local Christian churches and congregations around the world. So what our verse is really telling us is that there would come a time in the future after Satan, the king of Babylon, hears a report of the coming elect and Christ to conquer his kingdom, when he would come up like a lion from the swelling of the Jordan unto the habitation of the elect, namely unto all the Christian churches worldwide, as one last effort to destroy all the elect, if possible. And now, from our vantage point, we know when this was. It was on May 21, 2011, when Judgment Day first began, and Satan and his demonic spiritual beings were suddenly caused to run away from the habitation of the Eternal Ones, namely all the churches worldwide, because Satan was deposed from his rule over them. Nevertheless, he has been permitted to continue for a season and time. As we said, that's in Daniel 7, verse 12. Now, why does our verse say that Satan would come up as a lion? Well, obviously, because he came up to the habitation of the elect, that is all the churches, to devour them as prey, as if he were a lion. Of course, he did not devour them physically, but he devoured them spiritually by overcoming all the Christian churches with false gospels and teachings to deceive the elect. Yet the elect were not deceived, but had already been commanded by their Lord to depart out from all the churches, that they not be destroyed by all the spiritual plagues which were being brought upon her. So the elect had departed out from all the churches and fled to their own spiritual land in Christ Jesus alone. Notice that our verse speaks of Satan coming up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan. The Jordan River was a natural barrier to entering the promised land. It represents eternal hell that we must first cross through due to our sins to get into heaven, unless, of course, Christ crossed there on our behalf. And when the Jordan River is swelling, it means that it is overflowing into the promised land. And since, spiritually speaking, the promised land is the habitation of the elect, the swelling of the Jordan means that hell was spilling over into the habitation of the elect. So we can say that on Judgment Day of May 21, 2011, hell was overflowing into the habitation of the elect, which at that time was all the Christian churches worldwide. And it was Satan who, on Judgment Day, came like a lion from the swelling of the Jordan. That is, he came from hell unto the habitation of the Eternal Ones, namely unto all the Christian churches worldwide, as one last ditch effort to deceive the elect. Now our verse continues, "But I will make them suddenly run away from her." The first question that arises is, who is the them that Yahweh will make suddenly run away from her? When we read the parallel verse given in Jeremiah 49, verse 19, it reads the exact same, except one word. It reads, "Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of the Jordan into or against the habitation of the strong, but I will suddenly make him," it doesn't say them, it says him, "run away from her." So our verse, Jeremiah 50:44, says, "But I will suddenly make them run away from her," while the parallel verse in Jeremiah 49:19 says, "But I will suddenly make him run away from her. And we know for sure who him is referring to in this context of our verse. It is referring to Satan. And if him refers to Satan, then them must refer to those who came up with Satan, like a lion from the swelling of Jordan unto the habitation of the eternal ones. In other words, them refers to all the other demonic spiritual beings that came up with Satan against all the churches. It is them who Yahweh will make suddenly run away from her. That is, suddenly run away from the habitation of the elect. And when did this happen? Why? We already know it happened on May 21, 2011, when Christ conquered Satan and deposed him from ruling over the churches and the world. And when Christ and the elect conquered Satan and his kingdom by the message of no more eternal salvation possible. This all put Satan and his armies on the run from the habitation of the elect, for then he and his armies lost the power to rule over all the churches any longer, and Christ took Satan's place as the supreme ruler with a rod of iron. Nevertheless, as I have already mentioned twice, Satan and his armies' lives were prolonged for a season and time, Daniel 7:12, so that they have still been permitted to work evil both in the church and in the world until the last day of Judgment Day, when they will all finally be annihilated. Now, after we read that Yahweh would suddenly make Satan and his armies run away from her, that is, from the habitation of the eternal ones, or all the churches, our verse continues with a series of questions that are each meant to be answered in the negative. We first read, "And who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her?" That is, over all the churches from which the elect departed out from. The answer is, there is no one. And then we read, "For who is like me?" That is, who is like Yahweh? The answer is that there is no one. Then we read, "And who will appoint me?" That is, Yahweh, the time. Literally, it reads, "And who will appoint me?" That is, Yahweh. The answer is that there is no one. And finally, we read, "And who is that shepherd that will stand before me?" The answer is that there is no one. The idea is that now that we are in Judgment Day, ever since May 21, 2011, when the elect have all departed out from all the churches, who will stand up and save this habitation of the eternal ones, namely all the people in all the churches worldwide? Answer, there is no one. Therefore, they must all be destroyed. Oh yes, there was a time when Yahweh did stand up as the chosen shepherd, that is Christ, when he came to this earth and died for all the churches that would spring up around the world during the church age. But now that all the elect have departed out from all the churches, and Yahweh's wrath has come upon them, there is no one to stand up and save all the churches as Christ did for the elect. Therefore, because the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, all the churchgoers deserve the death that has come upon them, with no possibility of being eternally saved. In fact, all the churchgoers have become one and the same as Babylon, and just as Babylon must die for her sins, so also must all the churches die for theirs. For all the churches are Babylon, indeed, even Babylon the Great. Let's move on to verse 45. Verse 45. In verse 45, we read, "Therefore, hear ye the counsel of the Lord that he hath taken against Babylon, and his purposes that he hath purposed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he shall make their habitation desolate with them." In this verse, we first read, "Therefore." That is, because there is no chosen man like Yahweh to stand up and save the habitation of the eternal ones, namely all the Christian churches, during judgment day that we are now in, hear you the counsel of Yahweh that he hath taken against Babylon, and his purposes that he hath purposed against the land of the Chaldeans. Now Babylon refers to the world and all the churches worldwide combined, but the land of the Chaldeans, a part of the southern kingdom of Babylon, is a picture or type particularly of all the churches worldwide, because it was the Chaldeans who conquered Jerusalem in 587 BC, and this conquest was a picture or type of all the false Christians who overtook, conquered, and now reside in all the churches worldwide during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. So, the Chaldeans represent all those who now dwell in all the churches. Therefore, all the churches can be referred to as the land of the Chaldeans. This all means that when we are exhorted to hear the counsel of Yahweh that he has taken against Babylon, and his purposes that he has purposed against the land of the Chaldeans, we are being told to hear the counsel of Yahweh that he has taken against the world and all the churches, and his purposes that he has purposed against all the churches worldwide. Now we are told just what Yahweh has counseled and purposed against the world and all the churches. First, we are told, surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. The word translated as least in the sentence, surely the least of the flock shall draw them out, is better translated as little ones. Little ones. And the word translated as draw out is better translated as drag out. So, our verse now reads, surely the little ones of the flock shall drag them out. But who are the little ones? We read in Matthew 10, verse 42, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Here we see that the little ones are disciples of Jesus Christ. And again, we read in Matthew 18, verses 1 through 6, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted, and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Clearly, all the elect are here being depicted as little ones or little children. And we read further in Matthew 18, 12 through 14, how think you, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, does he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven, that one of these little ones, okay, the little ones are the sheep, and we know that these are ultimately the elect, should perish. Here, once again, we see that the little ones are the sheep or disciples of Christ, or we could say the elect. So, returning to our verse, when we read that surely the little ones of the flock shall drag them out, we are being told that surely the elect will drag them out. And this dragging out, of course, is not physical, but spiritual. When we, the elect, proclaim to all the world and all the churches that they are all under the spiritual wrath of Yahweh, that none of them can any longer be eternally saved, we are spiritually dragging them out because we are exposing them for what they really are, namely unsaved, false Christians. So, we are spiritually dragging them out into the open where the Word of God destroys them as He tells them through us that they can no longer be eternally saved. And they are now certain to perish on the soon to come last day of judgment day that we are now in. Yet not only do we find it Yahweh's plan for the elect to drag out all those of the world and in all the churches, but it is also His plan that surely He shall make their habitation desolate, we read, with them. Surely He shall make their habitation desolate with them, or by them. And we know how Yahweh made this world and all the churches spiritually desolate on May 21, 2011. He did it by removing any possibility of their inhabitants ever being eternally saved. This means that no one in the world nor in the churches can now be eternally saved, which further means that they are all certain to remain spiritually dead in Adam, which in turn means that their habitation is guaranteed to be desolate with no spiritually living inhabitant in it. The elect are not in their habitation because that is, they're not in the same habitation as the Babylonians or the people of the world because they have fled to their own spiritual land in Christ. But everyone else is not only spiritually desolate as they are left with no eternal salvation, but their habitation in the world and in all the churches is left desolate as well, since there is no spiritually alive person dwelling there. And there never will be ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. Okay, our last verse is verse 46. Verse 46 of Jeremiah 50. This will be the last verse we'll cover. It is the last verse of Jeremiah 50. And it reads, "At the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved, and the cry is heard among the nations." Here we first read, "At the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved." And the first question that arises is, what is the noise or sound of the taking of Babylon? It is not the clattering of sword, shield, and spear, but it is the proclamation of the end of eternal salvation for all the inhabitants of Babylon, namely all the people of the world, as well as all the peoples who have remained in all the churches, who did not obey our Lord's command to depart out. Oh yes, normally a war would be fought with guns and bombs, or in ancient days with sword, shield, and spear, but this is not a physical war, it's a spiritual war, and the weapons of our warfare are not anything physical. They are words spoken against this world and all the churches. Words which say that there is no longer any possibility for the salvation of anyone in the world or anyone still in the churches who was not already eternally saved by May 21, 2011. This is Yahweh's spiritual wrath upon Babylon on Judgment Day. The physical wrath is yet to come when on the last day of Judgment Day, when the entire world of unsaved people will go up in flame to be annihilated forevermore, and a new heaven and earth will be created for that remnant of people who have escaped the wrath of Yahweh through the atoning death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the God-man, the Son of the Father, Yahweh the Almighty and Magnificent. Now, our verse continues by saying, the earth is moved. The earth is moved. We could translate this, the earth shook, or the earth quaked. Does this mean that at the proclamation of the end to eternal salvation, that is, at the noise of the taking of Babylon, that the earth literally moved? Well, obviously not. Otherwise, the earth would have moved ever since May 21, 2011, when the proclamation of judgment began. Therefore, we must assume that when our verse says that the earth moved, it is figurative or symbolic language for something else. And when we look up this word moved in the Bible, we find that it is symbolic of Yahweh's presence in wrath or anger or judgment. For instance, we read in 2 Samuel 22:8, "Then the earth shook and trembled," that's that word moved, "the foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth or angry." And again we read in Psalm 18:7, "The earth shook and trembled," that's that word moved again, "the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth or angry." We read in Isaiah 13:13, which is in the context of Judgment Day, "Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove," that's that word move again, or moved, "out of her place, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger." We see how this word is connected to Yahweh's anger and his wrath. And we read in Isaiah 24:18, which is also in the context of Judgment Day, so it has to do with his wrath or judgment coming upon people. It reads, "And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake." That's that word move again. Furthermore, we read in Jeremiah 4, verses 22 through 26, "For my people is foolish." This is when God was bringing his judgment, or soon to bring his judgment upon his own people. It reads, "For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled." That's that word moved again. They trembled, or they moved. "And all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down, at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger." So here we see that word again that translated in our verse as the earth was moved. That word moved is clearly connected with the presence of the Lord in his fierce anger or wrath. Let's read just a couple more verses. In Jeremiah verse 10, we read, "But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble." That's that word move again. "And the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation." As one final example, we read in Jeremiah 51:29, which is the context of Judgment Day, "And the land shall tremble," that is that word move again, "and sorrow. For every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant." So, from all these verses, it is clear that the moving, shaking, trembling, or quaking of the earth is symbolic of the presence of God in anger or wrath or judgment. Therefore, when we read in our verse that at the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved, it means that at the proclamation of no more eternal salvation for Babylon, that is this world, including all the churches, the presence of God in anger or wrath is being manifest. Now, finally, our verse concludes by saying, "And the cry is heard among the nations." This simply means that the taking of Babylon through the cry of no more salvation is heard among the nations throughout the world. Well, with that, let's conclude this study by saying, in the last four verses of Jeremiah 50, we are first told that the king of Babylon, who is ultimately Satan himself, has heard the report of them at the start of Judgment Day that his kingdom has been given over to Christ and the elect. As a result, at the start of Judgment Day, his hands wax feeble, anguish takes hold of him, and pangs as of a woman giving birth. But, nevertheless, he comes up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan unto the habitation of the strong as one last ditch effort to destroy or deceive the elect, if possible. He comes as a lion because he is out to devour, and he comes up from the swelling of Jordan because he comes from hell in judgment against the habitation of the strong, which refers to the habitation of the eternal ones, which refers to all the Christian churches worldwide. But as Satan and his demonic spiritual friends come up against all the churches on Judgment Day, Yahweh makes them suddenly run away from her. That is, run away from all the churches, because at that time, on Judgment Day, Yahweh removes Satan from ruling over all the churches and the world. Nevertheless, as we've said several times now, Satan is permitted to continue for a season and time. Daniel 7:12. But now, who is that chosen man like Yahweh who will shepherd over all the churches worldwide in Judgment Day? There is no one. Therefore, we are commanded to hear the counsel of Yahweh that he has taken against Babylon, that is, the entire world, and his purposes that he has purposed against the land of the Chaldeans, that is, all the Christian churches in the world. And what Yahweh's counsel and purposes are is to make this world, that is Babylon, and all the churches, the land of the Chaldeans in Babylon, desolate by using the little ones of the flock, the elect, to drag them out through their message of judgment that eternal salvation is now no longer possible for any of them. This means that they are all now spiritually desolate, and their habitation, the world and all the churches, is spiritually desolate as well. Now, we are told that at the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved and the cry is heard among the nations. So as we, the elect, carry the message of judgment into the entire world and into all the churches, the earth is moved, because in this is the presence of Yahweh manifest in his anger and wrath. And the cry is heard among the nations, because this judgment message that Babylon has taken or fallen actually goes into all the nations, as the verse states. Now may Yahweh, through our Lord Jesus Christ, bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.